நான் ஜனசலாக சாட்சி தம்மேன தத்தை ஸ்ரீகுருவேன ஸ்ரீ சைதன்யோபிஷம் ஸ்தாபிதம் ஏன பூதலே ஸ்வயமேவ ததாதி ஸ்வல்பகாந்திகம் வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீகுரு ஸ்ரீயுதாபத கமலம் ஸ்ரீகுரும் வைஷ்ணவாம்சம் ஸ்ரீரூபம் சாகரஜாதாம் கம்சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் தரிசன சகிதம் கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய தேவம் ஸ்ரீராதா கிருஷ்ணபதாம் சாகரலலிதா ஸ்ரீ விசாகாம்பாம்சம் ஹே கிருஷ்ண கருணா சிந்து தீனபந்து ஜகத்பதி கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்தி ராதா காந்தி தத் காஞ்சி ராதே வந்தாவனேஸ்வரி விஷ்வானு தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரி கிருபாச்சந்தோபேவதிதானாம் பாவனேபியோ வைஷ்ணவேபியோ நமோ நமோ. ஓம் நமோ விஷ்ணுபதாய கிருஷ்ணபிரேஷாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த சுவாமி நாமினி நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணி நிர்விசேஷ சூன்யவாதி பாஷாத்த தேசிகாமி ஜெய் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர ஸ்ரீ வசதி பக்தவிருந்த ஹரி கிருஷ்ணா கிருஷ்ண கிருஷ்ணா ஹரி 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 ராம ஹரி ராம 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 ஹரி 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 கிருஷ்ணா ஹரி கிருஷ்ணா கிருஷ்ண கிருஷ்ணா ஹரி 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 ராம ஹரி ராம 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 ஹரி ஹரி ஜெய ஜெய ஸ்ரீராதி ஜெய ஜெய ஸ்ரீராதி ஜெய ஜெய ஸ்ரீராதி ஹரி கிருஷ்ண
ஹரி ஓம். தேங்க்யூ. ஓகே. ஸோ எனி க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் ஆன் தி லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ்? ஓகே. ஸோ வி ஹவ் கவர்ட் டிட் வி கவர் சர்விங் த டிடி வித் கிரேட் டிவோஷன்? ஐ திங்க் ஸோ. யா. You have covered, right? Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Yeah, is everyone there?
Yeah, I am there. Everyone is there. Yeah, I am there.
Okay. So no one is answering.
Hare Krishna. தன்வி மோஹித் பிரபு.
ஹரி கிருஷ்ணா. ஐ அம் தேர் பிரபுஜி.
மோஹித் பிரபு.
ஹா, எவ்ரிவன் இஸ் தேர் நோ?
ஆச்சா, ஓகே.
யா, சோ எவ்ரிவன் வாஸ் மியூட் ஆக்சுவலி, சோ ஐ தாட் ஐ டோன்ட் நோ இஃப் ஐ ஹேவ் பை மிஸ்டேக் டிராப் தி கால். சோ வி ஹேவ் கவர்ட் நோ சர்விங் தி டிடி வித் கிரேட் டிவோஷன்.
யா யா, ரைட்.
Okay.
No, you are
covered.
Pardon? What is
now we'll start with the recitation of Bhagavatam.
Sure.
Okay, so who will read? Saroja Mata is Akshaman Prabhu, are you there?
Can I read it?
Yeah, no problem.
Someone, I want to take notes. Recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, right now?
Hmm.
recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam among devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is a desire tree of Vedic wisdom. Veda itself means the aggregate of knowledge, and whatever knowledge is required for human society is perfectly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. There are different branches of knowledge in the Vedic writings, including sociology, politics, medicine, and military art. All these are other branches of knowledge are perfectly described in the Vedas. So as far as spiritual knowledge is concerned, that is also perfectly described there, and Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the perfectly, to be the ripened fruit of the desired fruit, fulfilling tree of the Vedas. A tree is honored by the production of its fruit. For example, a mango tree is considered very valuable because it produces the king of all fruits, the mango. When the mango fruit becomes ripened, it is the greatest gift of that tree. And Srimad Bhagavatam is similarly held to be the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree. And as ripened fruit becomes more valuable when touched by the beak of the parrot or suka, Srimad Bhagavatam has become more relishable by being delivered through the transcendental mouth of Sukhdev Goswami. Srimad Bhagavatam should be received in the disciplic succession without any breakage. When a ripened fruit comes from the upper part of the tree onto the ground by the process of being handed down from a higher branch to a lower branch by person in the tree, the fruit does not break. Srimad Bhagavatam, when received in the parampara system or disciplic succession, will likewise remain unbroken. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that the disciplic succession or parampara is the way of receiving transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge must come down through the disciplic succession through authorized persons who know the real purpose of Shastra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that one learns Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of the self-realized person called Bhagavatam. Bhagavat means in relationship with the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. So the devotee is sometimes called Bhagavatam, and the book which is in the relationship with devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also called Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that in order to release the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should take the instruction from the person Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is relishable even by liberated person. Sukhdev Goswami admitted that although he was liberated from within the very womb of his mother, it was only after relishing Srimad Bhagavatam that he became a great devotee. Thus, one who is a desirous of advancing in Krishna consciousness should release the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam through the discussion of authorized devotees. In Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, first chapter, verse number 9, Sukhdev Goswami admits that although he was very much attracted by the impersonal Brahman, when he heard the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the mouth of his father Vyasdev, he became more attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. The idea of the verse, the idea is that Vyasdev was also self-realized soul, and his mature contribution of transcendental knowledge was delivered directly to Sukhdev Goswami in the manner of indicated.
Yeah, so we have already discussed so much about Srimad Bhagavatam in our CC class.
Right.
Especially from Tattva Sandar Bhaiji Goswami. So, right means, have you heard, Sumit Prabhu? Because you are not there, no, in the CC class. So, you have heard the class or what?
I heard recording, not live.
Achcha, achcha. Okay. Yeah, okay, so you are hearing the recording.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Yeah. So is Meghna Mataji, she has joined?
No, actually she is busy in some another class today, so she will not joining today.
Oh, achcha.
Ha. And also
yeah, okay, so
in this recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam among devotees, it's already stated in Ishopanishad, I think.
You want to say something?
No.
Acha, okay. Yeah. Okay, so now, Bhairavi Mataji, you wanted to say something?
No, like everything went off. I thought maybe I got disconnected.
Acha, okay. So, see, basically, now, I think everyone must be aware of that very popular verse of the Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, third verse. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukta mukta amrita drava samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasam alayam muhur aho rasika bhogi bhavuka. Okay, so this is a very, very popular verse. And in this particular context, Jiva Goswami is elaborating on that. Okay, so I will just share something, you know, some important meaning of words in this particular verse. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. Okay, so Jiva Goswami says that Galitam. So what is the meaning of Galitam? Anyone knows?
Ripened?
Yeah, okay. Ripened is there, but, you know, the exact meaning of that. Anyone knows? So Prabhupada translated as fully matured. Okay. And Jiva Goswami says, Dalitam means fallen and in dripping state, in dripping condition. So this particular state of falling and dripping down indicates extremely ripened state of a fruit. Okay. So similarly, Bhagavatam is actually the most exalted, ripened, falling, ripened state of a scripture. So you have the desire, you know, you have a tree of Vedic scripture, and the fruit of that tree is the Bhagavatam, which is the most ripened, in the most ripened condition. So naturally, you know, this is the best scripture, the topmost scripture amongst all others. Okay. At the same time, it also indicates its very relishable nature, as well as its success at bringing out the meaning of scripture in the most skillful manner. So, you know, just as, you know, something is falling down and dripping, you know, it comes very naturally. So similarly, the Bhagavatam is naturally bringing out the meaning of the scriptures. Like it is kind of churning and bringing out the meaning of the scriptures. Okay. So it is in the most skillful manner. Okay, next. Then Jiva Goswami says that the word rasam. So what does rasam mean, you know? I mean, rasam, obviously, I'm not talking about that, vada and rasam, but this is rasam, basic. Okay, so what is the meaning of ras? Or rasam?
It is relishable or essence. In terms of relishable or the essence, yeah.
Yeah, so something that which is extremely relishable. So what is that? It is juice. So rasam means juice.
So
Prabhupada also translated it as juice. And Jiva Goswami also said it's juice. So the word rasam used in describing a fruit indicates that the fruit is totally... Now, what is the significance of juice? What is the difference between a fruit and a juice? Juice of the fruit.
Juice is the nectar of the fruit.
Correct. Yeah. So it is devoid of what? That nectar is devoid of?
Seed, rind.
Devoid of seed. Devoid of the seed which has the fruit.
Exactly. S-W-E-D. Yeah, wonderful. Yes. Yeah. So it's the juice is without skin and without any seed or without any defect. Okay, so this is the meaning of rasam. So see, wonderfully they have explained this, you know, meanings actually. So, and then further Jiva Goswami says that having attained the culmination of highest taste, naturally a person will not have satisfaction in anything else, correct? So this is the best kind of juice, number one juice. So once we drink that juice, we will not desire to taste any other juice. Okay, so therefore, drink this juice, since this sweet fruit includes even the bliss of liberation within it. So this is a speciality of Bhagavatam, that liberation is automatically included. There is no need of separate endeavor for liberation. Okay. So now, see, why he has mentioned liberation here is because by mentioning liberation, you know, which is also eternal and inexhaustible, it is thus indicated that the taste intrinsic to the Bhagavatam will not diminish either with the passage of time or by an increase in the number of people who relish it. So what does it mean? That, see, this liberation word is included because it indicates that liberation is something which is eternal. So similarly, the Bhagavatam, the taste of the Bhagavatam is also eternal. And at the same time, it is meant for all classes of people. Everyone can relish that. So as we know, that liberation can also mean different things for different people. For Mayavadis, it means to merge in Brahman. For Karmakandis, it means to go in heavenly planets. Okay. So similarly, for devotees, it is going back to Godhead or to render service to the Lord. Okay. So that is the reason here liberation is mentioned. Okay. Then, what does laya mean here? Alayam. Okay, so that word is, you know, alayam is there. So what does that mean? Anyone knows? So that is the same thing, right? Which we spoke about, liberation. So alayam actually means until liberation or even in liberated condition. Okay. And Jiva Goswami said that laya can mean great attachment and the sattvic bhava of fainting or pralay, which arises from attachment in prema. Okay, so now this is very interesting, that although it talks about liberation, but then it is talking beyond liberation. The Bhagavatam is also including topics leading up to prema. At the same time, it is also including topics which are prema. Okay, and the example of the topics which are in the category of prema is the pastimes of Krishna. Okay, so this is very important to understand. And then, you see here, another word is there which is very significant here. So there is one word called as Amrit. Nirvama kalpataravar dalitam phalam sukha mukhad amrita drava samyutam. Okay, so that Amrit, that is also used here because Amrit specifically means or something that is connected to the pastimes of Krishna. Okay, so Ras can be in general used for, you know, pastimes of other incarnations. But Amrit is specifically used for the pastimes pertaining to Krishna. Okay, so this is the significance of Amrit. Now, Vishwacharya Thakur says, when Prabhupada is explaining that this particular fruit has to be, it should come down in the disciplic succession. So Vishwacharya Thakur says that what is implied here is that without the Guru Parampara, one cannot drink Bhagavatam in its unbroken form, just by trying to taste it through use of one's limited intelligence. Okay, so now we are going to discuss something about, so already, okay, all of you now understood, you know, the Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam verse. So, you know, there are certain significant words used and I have just discussed those words. So any questions or any comments on this?
Hare Krishna.
It's really beautiful explanation.
Yeah, so that is provided by Jeev Goswami. Yeah, so I just thought.
Yes, the way they have explained it, you know, it's really touching, really touching.
Yeah. Sumit Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, I have one question. Just now I remember one of the materialistic person said, if they are not following the regulatory principle, but they are hearing the Shastra, bona fide Shastra, as it is, provided by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, then will they get highest position
Highest position?
Mean highest, not highest position.
Highest position means what?
No, no, not highest position. Like, they can attain the goal, supreme goal of this, because our goal is to attain Krishna. So will they?
Yeah.
So will they get that position? But they are not following. They are not following any regulatory principles.
Okay.
But they.
So now. This question is, I am surprised because, you know, so many devotees in ISKCON, they were not following regulatory principles.
No, but
especially in the Western countries, India also obviously. But then, you know, you see, you know, how many people became devotees by hearing Prabhupada, right?
Huh.
So obviously, you know, if you then hear from a pure devotee. Okay, so now I also wanted to discuss two things here, that there is qualification for the hearer and there is qualification required for the speaker. Both, you know, the audience as well as the speaker, they require qualification to hear the Bhagavatam. Then the Bhagavatam will have full effect. Okay, so that's what Prabhupada also says here, that we have to hear from an advanced devotee or someone who has realized Bhagavatam or someone who is repeating the words or, you know, following strictly in rhythmic succession. So if we hear from them, then we'll get the benefit. But what about the qualification of hearer? Is there any qualification?
Yeah, he or she should come in proper parampara, disciple succession.
Okay, well, let's not talk about parampara first. Let's talk about someone who is new, who is hearing for the first time Bhagavatam. So what is the qualification for devotees as well as non-devotees?
He should have faith, first of all, on the Shastra.
Okay, so I hear humble, submissive,
and the speaker
faith.
Too.
So all, yeah, so all three are correct. Tad yuri prani tatena prari prasnina sevaya ite gakshita jnanam jnanina tatva darshina. So in that particular verse of Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, 34th verse, Krishna directly says that one should approach the spiritual master, inquire submissively and render service to him. So the great soul, realized soul, they will impart knowledge because they have seen the truth. Right? So obviously, normally the tendency is that the audience always want to, you know, see the qualification of the speaker. They always want to evaluate, judge. But then what about the qualification of the hearer? So the hearer also should have this qualification, that they should hear with a humble, receptive heart and with a service attitude. Not just, you know, the purpose of hearing something should not be just to, gain knowledge for scholastic purpose. It should be to purify oneself, at the same time render service. Okay, plus one has to be faithful. One should have faith in the Shastra and one should have faith in the pure or advanced devotee. So then the receptivity, you know, then the connection will be proper. Then the message will be effective. The transmission of the message will be effective. So that is the reason when the hearer is a pure devotee and when the speaker is a pure devotee, so then the complete effect of Bhagavatam is transmitted. Okay, otherwise there is some, you know, even though we might receive it from advanced devotees, but not necessary that Bhagavatam will have its effect. It all depends on the audience hearer qualification and how much he has been to render service, you know, to the spiritual master, to the Vaishnavas. So this we have to understand. Otherwise, we can hear so many things, but there will be no transformation of heart. And there will be no, see, ultimately, even if you are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what is the meaning of that mantra? What is the meaning of Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Are we just chanting names? Prabhupada has given us name.
To engage us in service of the Lord.
Yeah. So service is the most important thing. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So see, the goal is to serve, finally. Okay. In all, whatever we do, the goal is to serve. Right? So this is the qualification which is required from both ends. Then full effect will be there. So you see, this is not just about hearing Bhagavatam. This is all for all devotional activities. Whether you do Shravanam, whether you do Kirtanam, whether you do Smaranam, or whatever it is, all these Navida Bhakti, it all depends on this, you know, basic principle of serving the spiritual master and, you know, satisfying and pleasing the spiritual master. If that basic background, you know, fundamental, the foundation is not there, then no matter how much you do, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, whatever you do, it will not have effect. And that is the reason Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, saying that, you know, even if you chant millions of names of Krishna and for millions of lifetimes, but still you cannot attain Krishna prema. But someone who is a pure devotee, who can just chant one name of Krishna, you'll attain Krishna prema. Right? So this is what we have to understand, that everything has to be judged according to, and we have to always see two things Prabhupada always said, that pleasing spiritual master and pleasing the Lord simultaneously. So this should go simultaneously, always. So, and I've told this many times also, if one is lacking, then, you know, obviously, then we are not actually on the right track. So pleasing spiritual master and pleasing the Lord, you know, yasadeva parabhakti yathadeva tatha guru, both things should go simultaneously. So even if someone becomes an uttama adhikari, okay, so uttama adhikari means what? That, you know, the super soul will start directing from within, the advanced stages of bhakti, like bhava, prema, you know, they are like uttama, uttam stage. So the super soul will start directing, but at the same time, the devotee also will become first class disciple. You know, he also will advance from third class disciple to second class in madhyama stage, and then from second class to first class in uttama stage. Okay, asakti, bhav, prema. So then it makes sense, you know, because the faith in guru will also increase. So it's not that, you know, okay, guru is required, you know, till the time, you know, we are at the stage of madhyama, and then once we, you know, are in touch with super soul, that's it. It's gone, you know. It's not like that. So we have to keep this in mind, that spiritual life will always run on these two tracks, spiritual master and Krishna. Prabhupada says many times this in his letters, in his purports. Okay, so any questions or any comments about this? So see, basically, you know, these things are important to understand, because what we are discussing generally, you know, many things are very technical. Like, you know, many questions are asked about different things, which are technical things. So these technical things will help us to understand, you know, something that, okay, this is the reason why it happened and all that. But the foundation is, you know, most important thing is to understand how to serve the Lord. Okay, and whatever is helping to improve our service, that is actually the most essential knowledge, you know. So that we have to always learn from the spiritual master. Okay. Anyone has any comments or question?
Tomoshi, you have posted one thing. Somebody is talking. Okay, thank you very much. You had posted a thing on the group, WhatsApp group, there, like, you know, there is no question of devotional service if the spiritual master doesn't say something. So I had asked on that.
Okay.
The post which you had done today.
Yeah, so what is the question?
It was very nicely, like, in a way, like, what is the essence there? It is the person who wanted to leave the Germany, but then say, okay, then there is no question of devotional services. It is not covered by the spiritual master or something. So that was something very, in a way, like, it was wonderful. Like, in a way, you cannot just decide on your own that you are going to do. You need to have the instructions of the spiritual master that way.
Yeah. So, basically, the process is that every devotee has to engage in their service according to their nature. Okay. Whatever they are most liking, they should engage like that. And generally, the spiritual master will also encourage the devotees, like disciples, like that. Okay, but then where to serve, when to serve, how to serve, that guidance will come from the spiritual master. So we have to accept that. So then only it is surrender. Otherwise, where is the surrender? We are just doing what we want to do. No, like if we don't want to serve in this temple, we want to serve in that temple, we want to go to here, there. So then it is like, you know, whimsical. Like then where is the need of Guru? What is the need of Guru? You know, it is just a formality. Yeah. And I think one devotee had posted in our group. I think it was Pranav Prabhu. He's there or not today? I think he has a congregation program probably. So Pranav Prabhu had posted that Chaturatma Prabhu, you know, Prabhupada disciple, he is also one of my Shiksha Guru. And, he had mentioned, you know, in that particular incident of Madhavendra Puri's, you know, this thing, Leela, that how Paramananda Puri was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So just by being a disciple of a so-called ecstatic, you know, exalted guru, does not mean that all disciples are equal on all equal level. Okay, it all depends on the surrender. So now Paramananda Puri actually offended his guru. And that is the reason he started chastising Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. So he fell down actually. But you see, Ishwara Puri was doing so much menial services for Madhavendra Puri. And he got the benediction, you know. He got blessings of the guru. So, you know, he became the scripture master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, ultimately all the disciples, you know, it's not that they are, you know, someone who has got more personal association of their scripture master, they are more advanced. No, it is not like that. See, basically, for the entire lifetime, if someone is, you know, carrying out the instruction of spiritual master, then they are the best disciples for the entire life, you know, and they are executing on that. So this is the meaning, you know, because we associate with the Vani of the spiritual master. Vani is the main thing, actually. Vani will actually carry us further in our spiritual life. Not so much the physical association of the spiritual master. So we actually get the physical association of the spiritual master through his Vani, basically, by following his Vani, basically. Okay. So that is the process.
Okay.
So Mohit Prabhu, you had a question?
Yes, I want to ask one question. I have two questions, Prabhuji, actually. First, I want to ask Prabhuji that how Srimad Bhagavatam is better scripture than Bhagavad Gita, and how it is.
Acha, okay. How Srimad Bhagavatam is sweeter than Bhagavad Gita?
Is Srimad Bhagavatam is matlab the better scripture than Bhagavad Gita? But firstly, I need to read. Is Bhagavad Gita or is Srimad Bhagavatam?
So, if I understood your question is, why Bhagavatam is more sweeter than Bhagavad Gita?
Yes, Prabhuji. But should we read first Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam? And which is more important?
Okay. So, see, Prabhupada always recommended. So, ABCD of spiritual life starts with Bhagavad Gita. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduate study. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. So, Prabhupada made that kind of gradation in the scripture. So, now, first of all, we have to understand that Bhagavad Gita is about what? It is mainly instructions. So, Krishna is giving instructions to Arjuna. And it is in the form of, three topics, basically. Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. So, divided into 66 chapters. Okay. So, now, here we see that there is only instruction. But there is no description of Krishna's qualities, form, pastimes, and all. So, and you see in the Bhagavatam includes instructions as well as the pastimes, as well as the description about Krishna. So, Prabhupada used to say that Bhagavatam is about Krishna, and Bhagavad Gita is about Krishna speaking to Arjuna. So Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita, but here Bhagavatam, it is about Krishna. So Bhagavatam is graduate study because it includes Bhagavad Gita also, the essence of Bhagavad Gita. In fact, you know, more than that, Bhagavatam is very detailed. Okay. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita is postgraduate because the Ras Tattva that is there, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sharing, you know, in CC, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, and the Leelas that are, you know, happening in Gaur Leela, so they are very deep. They are not so easy to understand. They're confidential Leelas, and only after understanding Bhagavatam, you know, one can start getting some understanding about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is the reason. And also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibits ecstatic symptoms, you know, especially in the Antya Leela, in the last chapters, you know. So these things are not so easy to understand. And that is the reason Chaitanya Paithamrit goes into further details, more than the Bhagavatam. So that is why it is the postgraduate study. Okay, so that answers the question.
It means that just by reading only Bhagavad Gita and we do chanting, we cannot go back to Godhead. Even Bhagavatam is necessary because it has the pastimes of Lord Krishna.
Yeah, see, basically, it is, you know, recommended to read Bhagavad Gita. We should know Bhagavad Gita because Bhagavad Gita is our main scripture, in the sense that, you know, the entire movement is based on Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So we should know Bhagavad Gita, so that we can also preach to others from Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita is generally the most popular scripture in the world. Okay, so many, you know, people from around the world, they refer to the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, at the same time, it is very small compared to Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is like, you know, 18,000 verses. This is like 700 verses. So it is very compact, you know, easy to carry, and you can also present to all whoever is there. So Bhagavad, so Prabhupada said that you can distribute books only if you have read them thoroughly. So we should read Bhagavad Gita. And after that, we will understand Bhagavatam easily, you know, rather than directly jumping to Bhagavatam. See, actually, because of Prabhupada's purports, Bhagavatam also one can start reading, you know, before Bhagavad Gita. But it is not recommended, you know. It's generally recommended to start with basics and then go further. So then, see, basically we'll get more understanding and more realization if you do that. So better to start with Bhagavad Gita, finish Bhagavad Gita, then start with Bhagavatam. Okay.
Okay, I want to ask one more question. In second last class, you said that chanting is the essence of Maveda Bhakti. Then why Krishna Maharaj in his class meant to Ravanam, note of Kirtanam, instead of chanting, reading, hearing from Sukadev Goswami?
Why Parikshit Maharaj is what?
Why Parikshit Maharaj did not choose his last moment Kirtan, means chanting? Why he chose Ravanam, hearing?
Okay. Okay, so I think the question is that since Kirtan is the emperor of the Navvidha Bhakti, it is the king of all the other limbs of Bhakti, so then why Parikshit Maharaj, he did not, you know, did only Kirtanam? Why there was a, you know, Shravanam and Kirtanam both? Kirtanam was done by Sukadev Goswami and Shravanam was done by Parikshit Maharaj. So anyone can give the answer? Anyone would like to comment or share something on this? That why Parikshit Maharaj did not do Kirtanam only? This is a very good question actually, because we'll understand what is the, you know, how can we get the full effect of Kirtan. So, any devotee would like to guess?
Because Sukadev Goswami got curse, so he had focused on Srimad Bhagavatam.
Unless you hear first, then only you can speak. So Sukadev Goswami himself first heard it and then only...
Yeah, excellent answer. Yeah. So that is very good. Okay, any other comment or any...
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji,
not Sukadev Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj had... Parikshit Maharaj got cursed. That's why he was focused in hearing from bona fide authority like Subhadra Goswami. So,
but why they did not perform congregational chanting? Because chanting is the emperor, right?
Chanting.
So they should have all just performed congregational chanting of Krishna's name.
Yes, yes. He might be chanting because when we get to hear something from higher authority, then we gradually arises the love between the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then we can do kirtan. And afterwards, the kirtan is the king of emperor. Because unless and until we can't hear something higher, then we can't gradually love anyone.
Okay, so what you are saying is also what Radhika Patisham, Radha Patisham Prabhu, right? The name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, basically now, first of all, understand that Subhadra Goswami is setting an example. He is already a liberated soul. Okay, and what about Arjuna? So one could ask this question that why Arjuna and Krishna did not only do kirtan? Why Krishna had to, you know, give him all the Bhagavad Gita knowledge? So Arjuna could have also done kirtan only, huh? Right, but Krishna spoke the entire Bhagavad Gita, explaining, you know, in proper detail all the chapters of Bhagavad Gita, all about Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, you know, and Bhakti Yoga. So, see, and as Prabhuji, you know, both Prabhu said that unless you hear, you cannot really do chanting. So that is correct. So unless one does not hear from spiritual master, what does, you know, what he will say? Because he has not heard only, so he does not know. And if he does not know, then he will not say anything, right? So first of all, we have to understand that Arjuna and Sukhdeva Goswami, they both are churning this essence of knowledge for us, for the conditioned soul, for the sages who are assembled at Naimisharanya, and for the sages who are assembled at, you know, when Sukhdeva and Parikshit Maharaj, they, you know, had this discussion. So for benefit of entire humanity, this Bhagavatam knowledge was spoken to Sukhdeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, by Sukhdeva Goswami. Okay. So now, see, unless we have knowledge, unless we have Sambandh Gyan, we cannot get Krishna Prem, even by chanting. Okay. So the process is, you know, if there is a Nitya Siddha devotee, then just by chanting, everything is revealed to him. But for sadhakas, they have to practice the Vaidhi Marg, given by Rupa Goswami, you know, practicing deity worship and then, you know, rules, regulations, and you have to also follow Bhagavat Marg, you know, of Shravanam, Kirtanam simultaneously. So, and at the same time, we have to receive knowledge from Guru, because the Guru is teaching us what is the proper mood of chanting, what is the proper mood of associating, what is the proper mood of serving, and how to take association of devotees, how to discriminate, what are the offenses, how to avoid them. So all this knowledge is given by Shastra, which is repeated by Guru and Sadhus. So unless we have this knowledge, unless we know this, our chanting will not, never be effective. Okay. So if we did not have knowledge from the Bhagavatam, then we would have never understood how to chant the holy name, in what spirit, in what way. Right? And because of that, there would have been no effect of chanting of the holy name. So you, and that's why I said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that one can chant millions of rounds for millions of years, but still they cannot attain Krishna Prem. But if someone who has served his Guru Vaishnavas and he is offenseless in his character throughout his life, even if he chants one name, one syllable of that name, he will get Shudnam easily. So this is what we have to understand. See, that is the reason we require Guru. Because Guru gives Gyan. Right? So what is the meaning of Diksha? Anyone knows what is the meaning of Diksha?
To take the shelter of unto the dust of the lotus feet.
No, I'm asking about the Sanskrit meaning of the word Diksha.
Diksha.
It is imparting of transcendental knowledge, Prabhuji.
Jai Ho, Saroja Mataji and Sakshi Mohan Prabhu. I was surprised that till now we have not joined.
Haribol.
Something is wrong. Yeah. Haribol. Haribol. Saroja Mata said something and I replied.
It is imparting of transcendental knowledge to the disciple.
Correct, yeah. So, okay, so one function is to impart knowledge. And what is the other function of the spiritual master?
He connects us to Krishna. Through him only we can know Krishna.
No, in that, I'm asking about the Diksha term. So, Diksha term has two parts. Two parts. One is imparting knowledge, another is
opening our eyes of ignorance.
Okay, but that is through imparting knowledge. But what is the second function of Diksha?
Okay.
So devotional service.
Well, that is also part of.
Is it that the spiritual master also accepts the karma of the devotee?
Exactly. Yeah, Aditya, Jai, finally heard your voice.
I've been there. I just wasn't speaking. I was hearing.
Okay. Yeah. So one can say that our discussion made him, you know, start speaking. So it is correct that Diksha means Di and Shaya. You know, it's divided into two parts, Di and Shaya. Di means, Di means Vidya Gyan. So imparting of Vidya Gyan, transcendental knowledge, which will cut the ignorance, the bondage of ignorance. And the second part is Shaya. Shaya means destruction of our karmas. Okay. So this is the role at the time of Diksha. So you see, knowledge is there always. Without knowledge, that is the reason, you know, and if you recollect, in our CC class, we were discussing that, or maybe NOD, I don't remember, but discussing that how, you know, in Priyat Bhagavatamrit, Sanatana Goswami is using example of Gop Kumar, you know, that he is about to reach the border of Vaikuntha, and he is objected to go beyond that by the Vishnu Dutas, and then the Vishnu Dut tell him that, you know, if you really want to enter, then you should hear, you should understand Bhagavatam from a realized devotee. Yeah, so you go to the material planet, or, you know, Govardhan, wherever you're born, and learn self, you know, from a self-realized devotee, the Bhagavatam, and then you can come to the spiritual world. Right? We discuss all these points. So this knowledge is absolutely essential. Without this knowledge, one cannot, chant Sudhanam. And if you see, in Jaiv Dharma also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says very clearly that how can one get Sudhanam? By associating and serving those who have Sudhanam, who chant Sudhanam. So that is the only way to get Sudhanam. So you understand this. So when we see, what is the meaning of association then? So when we associate with those great Mahatmas, then the Mahatmas will give us knowledge, you know, by how to serve, how to chant, how to associate, and how to, conduct our spiritual life on a daily basis. Then our entire bhakti will be effective. Okay, then we'll be able to chant Sudhanam. So does that answer your question, Mohit Prabhu?
Yes. Brilliant answer.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Yeah, now, yeah, anyone else? Do you have any comment or question? What?
So, that is where the Diksha Guru, that's also one big demarcation between the function of Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. So,
can you speak a little louder?
Can you hear me, Prabhuji? Can you hear me?
Yeah, now it is clear.
Yeah, so I was just thinking that is another area where, you know, the Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru are like different, because like Diksha Guru takes the karma, but Shiksha Guru is both impart knowledge, but Diksha Guru has this special function of accepting the karma of the disciple. Is that correct? Or does Diksha Guru also do that?
So that, Okay, thank you for asking this question. I think many devotees should get some understanding on this. See, first of all, Diksha Guru, he is obliged to give us Samband Gyan, and he is obliged to give us Gayatri. That is the role of a Diksha Guru. But if you see, and he is not obliged to give Siksha. You understand this? So actually, and the most important guru-disciple relationship is based on Siksha, actually. Okay, so now, generally, the Diksha Guru is the natural center of, worship of a disciple. It should be like that, ideally speaking. So, that is the reason Prabhupada says that whoever gives regular guidance or regular Siksha, naturally, he should become one spiritual master or the Diksha Guru. Okay, because then the Diksha Guru takes full responsibility of that disciple. He also imparts Siksha. So then there is no need to approach other gurus or other devotees, because you are already getting from the Diksha Guru. But what happens is that in ISKCON, we have so many Diksha Gurus, but and they are preaching so much and they have limited time. So then obviously the role of Siksha is given by some other devotees. It's taken by another group. Now, this particular thing of Siksha Guru is, first of all, I would like to clarify that Siksha Guru is not obliged to take a disciple's karma or full responsibility. In fact, the Siksha Guru, depending on the, if the disciple wants the Siksha Guru to take full responsibility, then he can take. So it all depends on the Siksha Guru and the Siksha disciple. Siksha Guru also can take full responsibility. But then obviously, he will set some conditions that, okay, I'm willing to take full responsibility, but then you have to follow whatever I say. Okay, so obviously then that kind of bonding will be there. So for example, Mahatma Prabhu. So Mahatma Prabhu, he accepts a lot of Siksha disciples, and he also takes full responsibility of them. If the disciples want. Okay. See, now, interestingly, I will share something, that I heard from Mahatma Prabhu, that many, many devotees that take Siksha from many, many devotees, right, on a regular basis. But not all of them, they see them as a devotee who will take full responsibility or someone equal on the level of a Diksha Guru. So naturally, the relationship is somewhat informal between a Siksha Guru and a Siksha disciple. Okay, it is kind of informal. Because, see, generally, okay, now first of all, we have to understand this point, that actually, if you are eternally liberated, if you are a completely pure devotee, then there is no need of taking Diksha. Okay, because the main purpose of Guru is to give Siksha. And just by taking Siksha, the pure devotee follows it throughout his life without any formal thing. Okay, he is naturally committed to the instructions of the spiritual master, so he does not require any Diksha. Now, anyone remembers any example from Gaur Leela, that they did not receive Diksha, but they just received Siksha? Very prominent,
so
acharyas from our sampradaya. Yeah, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, that's absolutely right. So you see, they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the session got at Prayag, and they just took Siksha. There was no formal Diksha. Mahaprabhu did not give Gayatri or something. They just received instructions, right? But because they were Nitya Siddha, they were they went beyond that. Not just instruction, but they were first-class disciples. Okay, so in one sense, when someone is actually very advanced Vaishnav, very surrendered, then he does not require Diksha. Only conditioned soul required to take Diksha. And that means that he has to take a vow in front of deities in the temple, in association of devotees and all that. And, the yajna is there so that he will be reminded that, I have taken a vow. Because generally, conditioned souls will have a tendency to break the vows, right? So that is the reason why this formality is required. Okay. It is, and the analogy is given as, compared to marriage, that, if a girl and a boy, if they are, they are already committed for the rest of the life, and they are properly, loving each other, then they don't require to get married also, in one sense. But in our Kali Yuga, obviously everyone has to undergo formality. And you see, even after formality also, there are so many divorces, right? So you see, this formality is required because we are conditioned. Okay, so the role of Diksha Guru is to give Gayatri Mantra and Harinam. At the same time, he gives Sambandh Gyan. Okay, he is not obliged to give Abhidey and Prayojan. And Abhidey, generally the Abhidey Gyan is given by the Siksha Guru. Okay, so that is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says in Kalyan Kalpataru that even though I respect my Diksha Guru, but for me, you know, I have more regards and respect for my Siksha Gurus because all the Siksha Guru are giving me Abhidey in personal service. So they, you know, so his faith and respect is much more for them. Okay, so now this is a devotee's choice, you know, how much faith they cultivate in some Siksha Guru. So we cannot see. That is the reason I said, I think we were discussing about this in CC class, that three things are required. One is faith. Second is practicality or compatibility. And the third is how much time the guru can give to the disciple. So we have to see some, like for example, a devotee can have faith in a Siksha Guru. Okay, he is inspired by some Siksha Guru. But then whether the relationship will be practical, compatible, that is another thing. Even if it is practical, compatible, but then does the guru have the time to give the disciple? Okay, so that is another. So these three things, if they are matching in some devotee, then one may have that kind of relationship, you know, formal kind of, it all depends on the disciple ultimately. So basically, you know, Mahatma Prabhu was saying that the devotees who just take, you know, guidance from other senior Vaishnavas, generally their guidance is, you know, not in the spirit of, you know, what should I do? How should I do? It is like, you know, they will say that I want to do like this. So is it okay? You know, like they will represent in such a way that they don't want any instruction. They just want to take proper, you know, blessings. That's it. So this is a kind of informal relationship between so that, you know, then we can say that relationship is more kind of mentorship relationship rather than a siksha, you know, guru and a disciple. So, but when one tries to be a disciple, then the disciple will always ask the question that, how can I do this? Or, you know, should I do this? Should I do what should I do? You know, that is the question that you tell me. The guru is supposed to tell the disciple that what should he do, like that. So then we can understand that kind of relationship becomes a siksha guru disciple relationship, like that. Okay, so does that answer your question too?
In the beginning we were saying taking.
Can you speak louder?
Yeah, in the beginning you began the discussion saying that the Siksha Guru is not obliged to take responsibility, but they can if the disciple is willing to abide by whatever the Siksha Guru says. So I'm thinking taking full responsibility is different from taking karma, right?
See, okay, one thing we have to understand, I just forgot to add that karma can also be taken by any guru, whether it be Vartama Pradaksha Guru, Siksha or Diksha Guru. They all take karma. Obviously, the effect of the degree to which they take karma will differ. Generally, the Diksha Guru will take the karma. And actually, I will tell you one thing. Recently, when I met Kalakant Prabhu here, so I had, you know, this discussion with him about taking karma. So obviously, at the time of initiation, the guru accepts all the past karma and he will assimilate all that. But then after that, if a disciple is breaking his vows, so then it is not the guru who is going to take the karma, it is Krishna who is going to assimilate the karma on behalf of guru. But the guru should not indiscriminately accept disciples. Okay. If he does that, then he will fall down. So what is happening is, you know, there is a contract and it should be broken by the guru or the disciple in order to nullify the parampara. Okay. So, everyone will take karma. Like, you know, a purohit who is arranging a marriage sacrifice ceremony, you know, during Yajna also he will take karma. Purohit is supposed to take karma of the, you know. And then we see from Shastra that the king also takes, you know, one-fourth of the karma of the citizens. At the same time, it also takes the pious activities, of one-fourth of the pious activities. Of. So see, whenever there is a dependent relationship, there will be transfer of karma. Okay, in fact, Prabhupada also said many times that in a family also, because we all are connected to each other, so our karma, their karma also will, you know, interchange like that. Okay, so karma is a very complex thing. So a shiksha, guru, mentor, whoever is there, he might take karma, you know, he can take karma to some extent. But full responsibility is like, you know, something which is like you are completely taking responsibility, you know, for the disciple. So obviously then one is expected to follow everything. Then that kind of thing will become, you know, perfect, like compared to a diksha guru. So, yeah. So any devotees, they have any questions?
Roji, I have one little clarification. So if it is not necessary... Yes, bro.
Okay. Oh, you joined right now? Because I just mentioned your name. Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I joined at 8:30. So it is necessary for the Shiksha Guru to expressly declare that if you would follow such and such instructions, I would take your karma. But if the disciple, without declaring to Shiksha Guru, he is following all the instructions for what that devotee is giving, so automatically he would be taking the devotee which is following his karma, right?
See, basically everything depends on the disciple. If the disciple is seeing our devotee as a Shiksha Guru in that particular, see, that is the reason Gopal Krishna Maharaj says that the Shiksha Guru is a very big term. It cannot be cheaply taken, you know. For example, in the earlier days, you know, Gaur Krishna Das Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, their relationship on, you know, was on the level of Diksha. You know, although they are taking Shiksha, but they were seeing them as their real gurus. Okay, so that kind of thing has to be there. That faith has to be there in the disciple. If that is not there, then what is the use of going and telling the devotee that, please be my Shiksha Guru, please take full responsibility, you know. So, yeah, so obviously when you approach someone to take full responsibility, then obviously he will also ask you to, you know, surrender completely, just as a Diksha Guru does at the time of initiation. So, it is like that.
Okay, please.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any other devotees?
Yes, Prabhuji. Vinita here, Prabhuji.
Yeah, Madhavi.
Okay. So, when you started class, Prabhuji?
Oh, we started around 8.
Okay, Prabhuji. Okay, so Prabhuji. Okay. Thank you.
Acha, okay, yeah. Okay. So, any other comments or questions on this?
So, this may be naive, but I'm thinking, how do they accept karma? Like, what actually happens? I know it's not possible to explain it in physical terms, but like, what is this? How do they understand? Yeah,
Prabhupada said, it's not so difficult to understand this, because Prabhupada said that when the guru is accepting the karma of the disciple, it means that, or in other words, karma can be, you know, pious or impious. So impious karma means, you know, the guru will suffer some disease, sickness, or he will see some bad dream. That's what Prabhupada said. Okay. And then if there are some nice devotional activities, then also that credit will also go to the guru. Okay. So like that. But one thing we have to understand what Kalakan Prabhu was saying is that if once the contract is broken, then or after initiation, you know, whatever bad karma is there, the guru is not going to take that. You know, Krishna will assimilate that. So that's what he was saying. And this is a very, I think this is a very deep topic, because initially, you know, it seemed that, you know, the spiritual master generally takes the karma of the disciple even after initiation. And Prabhupada said many times that, you know, if the devotees, if they do not follow the principles, then, you know, he will have to suffer, you know. And he even went to the point saying that if the devotees, they do not follow the instructions, and, you know, then the spiritual master has to come again to the material world.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so now this is something which is very interesting, because first of all, and Prabhupada says in one purport in CC that a very advanced devotee who's, you know, perfected soul, Nitya Siddha, or someone who has reached perfection, only he can assimilate all the karmas and he can accept, you know, disciples, lot of disciples. But any, you know, Madhyama Adhikari or any intermediate devotee, if he keeps indiscriminately accepting disciples just for name and fame, as we also discussed that in our previous NOD class, then, you know, he will fall down, because indiscriminately, you know, accepting disciples for the purpose of name and fame will, you know, is not actually the right mood to become a guru. The main purpose of guru is to, you know, preach on behalf of Krishna and behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if preaching is the purpose, then they can do it. Okay.
Okay. They can accept disciples. So, any disciples.
Yeah, yeah. And okay. You know, interestingly, in one letter I read, you know, that Prabhupada was saying, not about Siksha Guru, but Diksha Guru. Prabhupada was saying, in one letter to one of his disciples, that to become a Diksha Guru requires some special blessings from the authorities or the Guru. Okay, so that is something which is really important, actually. That you don't become a Guru because you would like to become a Guru. You become a Guru because you want to serve the mission of Mahaprabhu. And then obviously, you know, see, a guru is someone who is not self-appointed. He's appointed by his authorities. Okay. Because they will recognize that this devotee is, you know, doing so much preaching and he's in a good standing since so many years. He's, you know, inspiring so many. So then, you know, we should appoint him as a guru. So the GDC will decide, you know, like that. And obviously there will be references of other devotees and there will be checkups, you know, scrutiny and all that will be there. After that, someone will be appointed as Diksha Guru. And Kalakan Prabhu was telling me that generally they see the background for 5 years. How the devotee, you know, how his spiritual life is the last 5 years. So they see that. In fact, Kalakan Prabhu was also telling me that, you know, he wants to somehow bring the level of Diksha Guru down to Siksha Guru. In other words, he was saying that, some, you know, if you like to increase the preaching movement in the world, then we have to bring down the level of Diksha Guru. Okay, so what you are saying is that whoever is regularly giving Siksha, they should actually become Diksha Gurus later on. So not that, you know, only someone who is at the level of Asakti, Bhav, Prema, you know, it is not like that. But any Madhyam Adhikari, you know, they should become Guru. That's how the preaching will increase. Otherwise, what happens, you know, it is very, what will happen is, Madhyam Adhikari will, you know, preach devotees, but then these devotees, all of them will take, you know, Diksha from Uttama Adhikari, you know, let's say for example. And then the Uttama Adhikari is only, you know, very rare, you know, a couple of them are there. So then obviously, and he cannot take so many disciples, you know. So then the preaching will go, you know, slow down, will go down. And obviously, so that is, and plus, at the same time, you know, someone from outside will come and, you know, he will give Diksha. So what happens is, you know, someone is doing Siksha, training someone, and then suddenly someone will come. And then, you know, the devotee will take Diksha from that devotee. So that does not make any sense. So see, Prabhupada, that is why Prabhupada said that naturally the Siksha Guru should become the Diksha Guru later on. And then Prabhupada also said, which Kalakan Prabhu was telling me, that in order to increase teaching, you know, Diksha and Siksha should become equal. Okay, so that is the main thing. That's how we can increase the preaching. So, yeah, so see, so, you know, any one of us also might, you know, or can become a Diksha Guru in the future. Obviously, the role of a service, not to become a guru as such, but if there is a need requirement, then, you know, we should be able to take that position. Okay. So, okay, then, yeah, so Sumitra, we can continue. Associating with advanced devotees.
Associating with advanced devotees. The importance of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the society of pure devotees was explained by Shaunaka Muni during the meeting at Naima Sharanya in the presence of Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami confirmed that if someone is fortunate enough to associate with a pure devotee of the Lord, even for a moment, that particular moment is so valuable that even those pious activities which can promote one to the heavenly planet or give liberation from material miseries cannot compare to it. In other words, those who are attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam do not care for any kind of benefit derived from elevation to the higher planetary kingdoms or for the liberation which is conceived by the impersonalist. As such, the association of pure devotees is so transcendentally valuable that no kind of material happiness can compare to it. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, there is a conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and his father Hiranyakashipu, in which Hiranyakashipu addresses Prahlad Maharaj in this way: "My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone which will reflect anything which is put before it. Similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly the same action will be there. Another example given in the connection is that if a man is potent and if a woman is not diseased, then by the conjugation there will be the conception. In the same way, if the recipient of spiritual knowledge and the deliverer of spiritual knowledge are sincere and bona fide, there will be the good result."
Yeah, so what Vishwanathar Thakur says, that just as those who associate with persons attached to women are criticized more than those who associate with a woman, so similarly association with a person attached to the Lord is praised more and is more desirable than association with the Lord himself. So the association of a pure devotee is much more valuable than association with the Lord himself. Okay, now, so, see, this is the most important process, association with advanced devotees. Okay, now what we have done is, recitation of Bhagavatam is done, serving the deity with great devotion is done. So this is the third most potent, limb of bhakti, which is association. Okay, then will come chanting, and then at the last will come living in Mathura. So now you see, everything can come from the association with devotees. That is why it is said, sadhusan sadhusan sarvashastrakai lavamata sadhusan sarvasiddhi hoy. A moment association with pure devotee can give us ultimate perfection. Okay, because in the association of advanced devotees, we learn how to serve the Lord. That is the most important thing. So you see, without this element, one can never attain perfection. And that is why it is always said that one cannot approach Krishna directly. One should approach Srimati Radharani first. And by her recommendation, Krishna will accept very easily. So similarly, when we associate with devotees, then we learn from them how to serve Krishna, and then Krishna will easily accept that service. Okay. So now, obviously, they have to associate with, there are three kinds of association. And the first one is that, we associate with seniors. Seniors means, here it means those who are advanced than us. So maybe they can be, your equals also. But because they are more advanced, then they become senior. Okay, so seniority means like that. Then associating with equals means that, from seniors you gain knowledge, you learn them, from them, and you serve them. With equals, you share that knowledge, and you serve each other. Okay, and you give knowledge, and you show compassion to juniors. So this is association of three categories. Okay, so we have to take and give association. Very important. Okay. Now there is a concept called greed. So which is more important? Lalyam, lalyam. Rupa Goswami calls it lalyam. Lalsamai lalyam. Okay, so lalyam is greed, intense greed. So So which factor is more important in spiritual life? Is greed more important or is association more important? We have discussed this earlier, I think. Maybe in some CCTR or NOD, I don't remember. But, so which is more important?
Greed.
Okay, why?
Association as well. When you have intense greed, then you have the force of you to drive you, to move you in the direction.
Yeah, exactly, correct, yeah. Okay, yeah, so that, you know, obviously. So, any other devotees, they have any opinion?
Prabhuji, can I say something?
Prabhuji, I have one.
Yeah. Okay, okay, first Haritra Prabhu and then Mohit Prabhu.
Okay, so I'll tell you one classic example, like my own realization. So the greed that you're talking about, very honestly speaking, when I speak to you, like we have talks offline also, right? Like when we speak to each other, just two of us.
Yeah.
I have experienced that increase in greed. Definitely. And
okay.
I'm giving this example because like this is something I've experienced myself. Also, there are some devotees with whom when I interact one to one, they make me feel like, you know, they make that desire stronger to read,
right,
to, you know,
yeah,
serve. So for me, I'm thinking it's, you know, the other way around. But I may be wrong, but association has helped me increase my greed. Unless you say that greed is there in me. So that's my experience, my own experience.
Yeah, so that is also correct, no doubt. Okay, yeah, so I will Mohit, tell me.
I also want to say the same thing which Sabji said, that Sadhu Sangha also can create the greed. If we in touch with the pure Sadhu or pure, we can also develop the greed in us. There are many examples like Haridas Thakur and Saradhu. And many examples like Srila Prabhupada, he go in the western side and he developed greed in them. So from their sweet Sangha, he made prasad for them. But he go in the, matlab, he told the, there is good, they hold dreams, so they gamble, different of him, and he create greed in them from his Sangha. So, I want to say, Sadhu Sangha can also develop greed. We are in touch with Sadhu.
Yeah, right. So, Bhairavi Mataji, what she said is right, and what you both are saying is also correct. But, amongst association and greed, ultimately, what is the objective of association is to develop that greed, right? Finally, as Aritra was saying and as Mohitra was saying, that we also would like to develop that greed, and in association devotees, we get the greed. Okay? So now, and then that is the reason why greed is the most important factor, even more than association, because if someone has already the greed to advance in spiritual life, then no matter what, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, they will always strive to, you know, advance in Krishna consciousness. They always would like to serve in any situation. But if someone does not have that kind of greed, then for them association is absolute necessary. Okay, so in that greed also, if someone is already greedy, in greediness also, obviously they will associate with devotees. Because in association of devotees, the greed will arise. Even if someone has a lot of greed, but still they are greedy to increase their greed. Right? So this is a transient, you know, dynamic exchange that, you know, and obviously because association, devotees will remind of them of Krishna and, you know, Radharani and, you know, the Vrajvasis. So obviously they will associate. So that will increase their greed, you know, about the topics of Lord. Just as, you know, during the separation of Krishna, when he left the Rasa dance, then all the gopis started conversing with each other, you know, they started speaking about Krishna, his Leela and everything, activities, forms and names and all, and that increased their, you know, separation. In the sense that it was subsidizing their separation, but at the same time, it was increasing their intensity of love. Okay. So because of the separation, the intensity of love was increasing in the association of devotees. So you see, the idea is to develop that greed finally. Now the object, the main end is objective is to develop the greed. Okay, if the greed is there, then you know automatically everything can happen. But if there is no greed, now let us talk about the reverse way. If there is no greed and if there is no desire to attain that greed, then no matter whatever association you take of advanced Vaishnava or you know regularly if you take, if you go hear, you know, read, write, whatever you do, it will not have so much effect in spiritual life. Okay, so that greed has to develop, otherwise very difficult. Okay, so does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, so any questions or any? Yeah.
Greed is very good actually. And my question is how that greed will develop.
Yeah, so it's okay. Yeah, so that's a good question. So Rupa Goswami says there are two types of greed. One carries from previous impressions from the past life. So that is the reason greed is already in them. See, when we say that greed is already in some devotee, you know, then they are carrying that from the previous impressions from the past life. Okay, and if someone does not have greed, then they should take association of greedy devotees, those who are greedy. Okay, so one time, one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he asked him that, you know, how should we chant the name of Krishna, in what particular mood? And he said that cry for the holy name. And then the disciple said that, but Guru Maharaj, I am not able to cry also when I chant. So then, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, then you cry, then you are not able to cry to chant the holy name. Okay, so basically that means that one has to be greedy to achieve something. One should, and then obviously association of devotees will help in that. So, but we have to be careful, you know, we should not try to imitate someone. Like, you know, we might get some advanced association, but then the tendency is that we want to immediately start imitating, you know, like for example, if some devotee is giving fantastic class, you know, attracting, and he has a particular style of saying, and then, or he's expert in some area, you know, then we try to, we should not imitate. So we should not have the competitive spirit that, oh, I can also do, I should also become like him, you know. If that is the thing, then that is not right, you know, way of associating with advanced devotees. Then that will not have much impact. So because the association with senior Vaishnavas means we have to think ourselves as servant of the devotee. Otherwise it is kind of a Mayavadism. Right? Does it make sense, you know, that, I should also become like him and, you know, should preach like him and everyone will praise me. So then obviously we have to find that. We have to be careful about it. So the mood is always to be a servant of devotees. Okay. So does that answer the question, Mohit?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
One question.
Some devotee was saying? Yeah.
Yes, sir. Prabhuji, if we say that associating with advanced devotee is the better option and we should associate with advanced devotee, so what is exactly association with an advanced devotee? And if we say that one should always, to a greater degree associate with the advanced devotee, so the advanced devotee is not always for him to give association to us. And in the same manner, he will also think that I will associate with some more advanced devotee. So he naturally will associate with us more prominently.
Yeah,
so
right. Okay.
So
Radhanath Maharaj, you know, many times he says in his class, and, you know, he also, like, devotee asked this question then, that, you know, Maharaj, that, you know, you speak about association with advanced Vaishnava, but the advanced Vaishnava, they don't have time, and we are not able to associate them directly. So how can we advance them? So then Maharaj says very simply that, associate with those who are sincerely trying to advance in spiritual life. So that basically means associate with equals. If you don't have the, if you are not able to associate with advanced Vaishnav, if you are not getting the chance, then you associate with equals. Okay, and equals who? Which kind of equals? Those who want to advance. So by their greed, by their sincerity, we'll also try to develop that kind of sincerity. So that also we can advance in spiritual life. But we have to see, one thing is for sure, that there is no chance that any devotee will not get advanced Vaishnava association. It's not possible. So see, that is the reason we should not first of all think that, oh, I will associate with advanced devotee means, I should only serve Uttarikaris and, associate with them. No, there are so many Madhyamas, and maybe Kanishthas also, who are advanced then, because Kanishtha also has three different stages. So you might be in Kanishtha, and some other devotee might be in Uttama Kanishtha. He's just at the border of Madhyama. So that devotee is more advanced. So whoever is more advanced than us, so that devotee can inspire us. They can give, we can take their association, we can serve them. And by doing that, we'll also advance. See, and what is happening here? If you are associating with the Madhyama also has a desire to advance. So he might be associating with the Uttama, or he might be associating with his superiors. Okay, so he will also make advancement. And then whoever is under him, he will also, take them further. And like that, so, that will keep increasing, So we have to see which devotee is sincere and who is more advanced than us. And that can help us to advance further. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so any other question from any other devotee?
Prabhuji, I have one question, that association of devotees should be physically or is verbally also. Like I present in class and we associate with you in the class, so it is also association, verbal association.
See, basically, really speaking, the real association with the advanced Vaishnava is through service. Okay, by following his instructions and by pleasing him, by doing service for him. Okay, and that can come in the form of personally associating with him and hearing from him, or it can also mean to serve, help and serve, in whatever capacity someone can. So by that service, one can advance, because the mercy flows through service. When we are talking about association with advanced devotees, see, that is the reason Prabhupada also said many times that what is the meaning of associating with the spiritual master. And he said that the association with Bani is more important than the physical form of the than the Vapu. Right? So when the Vani is already given and if you are executing the instructions, so then that is associating with advanced devotees, and even if he's not there, So if you are doing that, sincerely, then we'll also advance in spiritual life. Okay. And by doing in the process, if we need help, we need guidance, then we can ask devotees, or we can ask, whichever advanced devotees we are serving. If they have time, they will give guidance. Otherwise, we can ask other devotees who can give time. So it is like that, we follow their instructions basically. We try to please them through service. So see, one thing is that devotees should not expect personal association with advanced Vaishnavas. Even though they have, that is the meaning of this, that one cannot say that, associating with advanced Vaishnava means, I will always, whenever he'll come, I will take his time and, we'll discuss for hours and hours and, not like that. Association basically means to serve. And service can be, if he wants to give, if he wants to reveal certain things to you, then he will give you time and personally he'll explain to you all these things. But if he has other services, then he can engage you in some service. And that's how you can, associate with him. So this thing, I'm glad that you asked this question, because this is a very important concept to understand. For example, whenever, my Shiksha Gurus come, so then obviously If they have time, if I have questions, then I'll ask them. But generally, you know, my approach is that I would like to serve them first. So whatever they require, they need, you know, we have to fulfill that. And we have to also give them space. Okay, pleasing them means, you know, whatever satisfies them. And that is the best way to advance in bhakti. You know, when we try to please what they need, you know, that is the best way, most effective way we can please them. Okay. So.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, can Pranav Prabhu can read this chanting the holy name afterwards?
Oh yeah, no problem. You are going to be here or?
No, just the moment I'm going outside, that's why. For the moment.
Achcha. Okay, recording is going on, no?
Yeah, recording is going on.
Okay.
Pranav Prabhu,
okay, so any other questions from other devotees about association? Tanvi Mataji, are you there? Hare Krishna, Tanvi Mataji. Okay. What about others? They are all there?
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Tanvi Mataji, you are there?
Yes, yes, I'm there.
You have any questions? You have any questions, Tanvi Mataji?
No questions.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Okay. What about Satyabhama Mataji? Is she had any questions?
No problem.
Okay. Yeah, other devotees?
No problem. I have a question. Prabhu.
Yeah. Yeah. Who is this? Swati Mataji.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah.
Is there anything like to find out if in what the devotee is advanced, how much the devotee is advanced?
How many devotees?
Is there anything to find out that a particular devotee is more advanced than us?
Okay, yeah. So, okay, now I think the devotees can answer this. You know, so how to know which devotee is advanced?
One symptom is, Mother Prabhuji, that he loses interest in this mundane talk and he talks more transcendental talk.
Correct, yeah. So he has more taste for bhakti. He will speak more about bhakti. So whoever engages more in bhakti, yeah, so he can be as, you know. See, we have to, like, generally when we talk about advanced Vaishnava, then we have to see where we are at first. So if you are doing bhakti, you know, for 1 hour every day, and if other devotees, they are doing bhakti for 2 hours, with quality and with, you know, proper attitude. So, you know, like Radhanath Maharaj says that humility and servant of devotees, this quality is very important to find out association of advanced devotees. So if someone has humility and if someone is sincerely trying to be the servant of other Vaishnavas, then that association we always desire. Okay, and obviously then we have to also see in terms of quantity that how much devotee is engaged in how much bhakti, how much service doing. So these factors are also there, how to make judgment. So any other comments on this?
By also less envious.
Ha, by?
Seeing one's attachment to the holy name.
Yeah, seeing one's attachment to holy name. So that is important, but we have to also see how much that Vaishnava is humble. If there are many devotees who can chant the holy name, you know, maybe more than, you know, 25, 30, 48 or 64 rounds they can chant, but then what is the most important factor is to understand how much they are surrendered to the spiritual master and how much humble they are. So these two qualities actually Maharaj said. Servant of servant means basically how much they are surrendered to the spiritual master. Okay. So if that is not there, see, it's not so difficult. See, let's talk about example from Gwalior. Now there was one devotee, Ramdas, and he was, he associated with, who was that? Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, right? So Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, he saw that this Ramdas is always taking the name of Lord Ram, 24 hours a day. Okay. And then he introduced him to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw him, he neglected him. He did not pay so much respect to him. Okay. And then what happened, one time, Prasadam serving was going on and many devotees were sitting. So that time Ramdas was serving all the devotees. And Raghunath Bhatt saw that. And he asked him that, you are always chanting the name of Lord Ram and you are always serving devotees. So, what do you want to achieve, by chanting the name of Ram? And then, and Raghunath Bhatt, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu neglected him, initially, Raghunath Bhatt was confused that why Mahaprabhu did like that. But then, after this, when the incident happened, when he was serving Prasadam, so then he revealed his mind to Raghunath Bhatt Goswami that, actually, I would like to become Lord Ram. Okay, so he understood that that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ignored him, because he wanted to become Mayavadi. He's a Mayavadi, right? So what is the use of that kind of chanting, if that is not accompanied by humble service attitude and surrender to the spiritual master? If that thing is not there, so this is the thing, this is the real thing that we have to identify, because there are so many devotees in Radhakund also, Radhakund Babaji's. They chant throughout the day. But then, they also engage in some illicit activities. And then there are sahajiyas also in Radhakund. So they also chant. So they will, externally they will show, lot of attachment to the holy name. But internally what is happening, we don't know that. Right? So that is the reason we have to always see humility and surrender to the Guru. These two things should be there. Okay. Any other one devotee was saying something? Okay, so does that answer your question, Swati Mataji?
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, basically, by hearing the class, what they speak, and by when you hear them, then your heart will resonate. You will be convinced, you will think that, it makes complete sense. My doubts are getting destroyed. And, this devotee is inspiring me naturally. So then obviously one can understand that, they are advanced devotees. So like that, and Prabhupada said that, see, now there is one thing which can happen, and which is not uncommon. So, there can be fall downs of, great devotees in the future. So even if some devotee will appear to be very advanced at particular time, but then later on that devotee might fall down from spiritual life. So we should not be taken aback, because that is a part and parcel of all the conditioned souls, because they are marginal energy, so they will be they might be attracted to the material world at some point of time. So Prabhupada used to say that we don't see a devotee's past or future status, we see the present status. If they are humble servants of devotees, following Guru, and if they are in good standing right now, at this time, then we can accept them. Okay, later on, we can fall down, they can also fall down, like that. So one can never be sure of that. Okay?
Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna?
Yeah.
Yeah, just I wanted to add, the humble quality is important, as you said, and how much surrender he is to the to his guru.
I'm
also thinking that particular person will connect whatever you discuss. Ultimately, he will connect it with Krishna, and probably he will see everything as Krishna's mercy. And probably, that sloka is, somewhat from. He will look everything. He will see in equality, in kind of thing. You can see Krishna everywhere.
But that kind of devotee, they are very advanced devotees. So it's rare, difficult to get association or direct guidance of such devotees. Generally, these devotees are, you know, like Uttamadhikaris, because they see Krishna everywhere. So one of the symptoms of Uttamadhikari is that they see Krishna everywhere. Okay, and that is the reason they naturally feel humble. In fact, they see the non-devotees and the material energy also as, you know, serving the Lord. So they think that they are actually more, much better devotees than ourselves. So naturally the humility is there. So that is the reason Prabhupada said that Uttamadhikari cannot preach. They have to come to the level of Madhyama to preach. Because preaching means discrimination. When you are preaching to others, you are discriminating. You are actually giving mercy, right? So when you give mercy, then you are saying that he is a junior, you know, he does not know. So he should be given. So then you are making some kind of discrimination that here is an advanced devotee, here is a neophyte devotee, like that. But Uttamadhikari, for them, everyone is actually more advanced than them. Okay, so... So these devotees are very advanced, you know, like difficult to, you know, get in contact with them. Plus, another thing I will tell you, very important, that if you associate with, see, if a Kanishta will directly associate with the Uttama, then there is a chance of, you know, burning in that association. Instead of elevating, one might also burn down, degrade. Because what will happen if a Kanishta is not trained properly, if he has conditionings, if his nature is not good, if he does not humbly serve the spiritual master, then what will happen is, you know, he might get angry and he might try to correct the devotee, or he might chastise that devotee, or he might revert back, you know. So this one has to be very careful. If we do not properly respect, you know, guru means, you know, he is seen as God. If we do not properly respect and, you know, then we will fall down. Then, you know, very difficult play, you know. So that is the reason, you know, Radhanath Maharaj was saying that Prabhupada was like fire. And the devotees who associated with it intimately, they had to become like fire. If they could not become like fire, then obviously they had to get burned off. So what does it mean? That, you know, those devotees who were with Prabhupada physically, later on they left Krishna consciousness because they couldn't sustain, you know. So they were attached to Prabhupada's physical vapu, and some of them even committed some, you know, grave offenses to Prabhupada. So, you know, they left because of that. Okay, so we have to be careful. So we should choose association in such a way that will gradually uplift us, elevate us. And we should also see the practicality of that association, that whether that association is you know, not so theoretical. It should be very, you know, like something that I can apply in day-to-day life, something that I can gradually uplift myself, right? Because, see, we are Grihasthas, then obviously Grihasthas, we cannot expect high standards for them, right? So then best is that, you know, Grihasthas take guidance from other advanced Grihasthas or some, you know, in the renounced order who are more matured and who can understand, you know, about the Grihasthasram. Okay? So, does that make sense, Mamaji?
Yes, Mamaji.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, so let's continue with chanting the holy name. So, Pranav Prabhu, you can read?
Shall I read, Prabhuji?
Yeah, no problem.
Hare Krishna, chanting the holy name of the Lord. The importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare is very strongly stressed in the second canto, first chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam in the following way. Sukhdev Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear King, if one is spontaneously attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is to be understood that he has attained the highest perfectional stage. Specially mentioned that the karmis who are aspiring after the fruitive results of their activities, the salvationists who are aspiring to become one with the Supreme Person, and the yogis who are aspiring after mystic perfections can achieve the results of all perfectional stages simply by chanting the Maha Mantra. Sukhdeva uses the Nirinitam, which means it has already been decided. He was a liberated soul and therefore could not accept anything which was not conclusive. So Sukhdev Goswami especially stresses that it has already been concluded that one who has to come to the stage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with determination and steadiness must be considered to have already passed the trials of fruitive activities, mental speculation and mystic yoga. The same thing is confirmed in the Adi Purana by Krishna. While addressing Arjuna, he says, anyone who is engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associating with me. And I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee, I become easily purchased. In the Padma Purana, also it is stated, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is present only on the lips of a person who has for many births worshipped Vasudeva. It is further said in the Padma Purana, there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. As such, the holy name is as perfect as the Lord himself in fullness, purity and eternity. The holy name is not a material sound vibration, nor has it any material contamination. The holy name cannot therefore be chanted offenselessly by one who has failed to purify his senses. In other words, materialistic senses cannot properly chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But by adopting this chanting process, one is given a chance to actually purify himself so that he may very soon chant offenselessly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that everyone chant the Hare Krishna mantra just to cleanse the dust from the heart. If the dust of the heart is cleansed away, then one can actually understand the importance of the holy name. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from the heart and who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of the chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. One should therefore be encouraged to develop his service attitude towards the Lord, because this will help him to chant without any offense. And so, under the guidance of his spiritual master, the disciple is trained to render service and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra. As soon as one develops this spontaneous service attitude, he can immediately understand the transcendental nature of the holy names of the Mahamantra.
Yeah, so you see, here what Prabhupada said, you know, we have discussed this earlier, that so persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from hearts, who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive transcendental result of chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So you see, it's not that, you know, just by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, you know, everything will go away. You know, the point is that we have to work on our anarthas. We have to have the desire to get rid of anarthas. We have to work out for that. Otherwise, you know, Hare Krishna Mahamantra in itself will not do anything. We should have the desire, okay? And that's why Prabhupada said further that, therefore, one should be encouraged to develop his service attitude toward the Lord. See, this is the most important point, that we chant the Mahamantra through this service attitude. And Radhanath Maharaj also in his lectures many times he says that when we are chanting with the attitude of service. We approach the holy name through the attitude of service. So the spiritual master will teach the disciple in what mood one should approach the holy name. And it is not that you just listen one time and, you know, you approach the holy name, you know, through that service. No. For conditioned souls, repeatedly hearing, you know, day after day, that how we should serve, because the tendency is to forget the instruction. Okay, so this mode of surrender should be developed throughout one's spiritual life. It's not that one day they will hear, that day they will approach the holy name through surrender, and next day they will demand the holy name that, you know, you are not giving me prem, you should give me prem. So it is not like that. This surrender attitude is cultivated throughout the life, then the holy name will show the effect. Okay, so here Prabhupada says that under the guidance of spiritual master, a disciple is trained to render service and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Okay. So as soon as this, now Prabhupada says that as soon as one develops spontaneous service attitude, we can immediately understand transcendental nature of the holy name of Hare Krishna mantra. Right? So this is what we want to achieve, spontaneous service attitude. That wherever, you know, state we are, we have to approach everything by the process of service. If you want to associate with advanced Vaishnava, first ask them, how can we serve you? If you approach the holy name, then chant in a humble service attitude. Ask the holy name, how can we serve them? Radha and Krishna, how do we serve? And see, whatever activity we are doing, you know, whether it is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Sevanam, Archanam, Dasyam, you know, or residing in Holy Dham or seeing the Holy, visiting Holy Dham. Everything has to be approached with the mood of service. Okay. So one cannot demand the Lord or His devotees to reveal, or the Dham to reveal itself. So only by service everything will be revealed to us. Okay, none of the items of devotional service on their own, you know, just by doing that item without service attitude, they cannot reveal itself. Only when there is service attitude in all of this, then only everything will be revealed to us. Okay. So, yeah, so, you know, you see, and then, you know, obviously, you know, someone who is chanting the holy name means they have, you know, acquired a lot of sukriti, and they have acquired the results of studying the Vedas, scriptures and all that. Because whoever knows that, you know, chanting the holy name is the most important principle, so they have properly understood the scripture. Okay. So all these factors are very important. So any comment or any question?
One question.
Yeah.
Roji, it's a practical thing that it is, we have to come to the level of doing the service spontaneously. But what happens is, in the daily routine, if we, for a day, we are having some schedule of sevas from morning till night, and it has been displayed from 2-3 days before only. And then a senior devotee comes and spontaneously gives us some seva. And because of that, the other schedule of sevas what we are having, that gets disturbed. And he just hands over us the seva. And so how do we have to outrightly say no to him? Or how just ignore it, or what to do?
Yeah, so thank you. You know, this question is very important. You know, this is where the role of, you know, the gurus will come in picture. So, you know, we already discussed about Diksha and Shiksha Guru, and one has to give first priority to our Diksha and Shiksha Guru first. Okay, and whatever service they have assigned us. Like, if they are not there directly, if we are in a temple serving, that's our main service, then that should be our first focus. Okay, and if we are doing some service for our Diksha and Shiksha Guru somewhere, if that's the main focus, then we have to, you know, give priority to that first. So whichever senior devotee or someone will come and will say that, you know, can you do this? Then we should very humbly tell them that, you know, Prabhuji, actually I'm already involved in my Guru Seva, so I won't be able to do it. So very humbly you can tell them, respectfully and humbly. So,
so we have... devotee says that just do this Seva. I don't know how you will do, but just do it. It is an emergency service.
Yeah, so if it's an emergency, and you know, it is obvious that it's an emergency, and if there are no devotees available, and if he is asking you, then you can do it. You know, emergency situations are rare generally. So if there is a requirement, you know, and no other devotees are available, but then obviously, you know, we should be convinced that that's an emergency, and you know, we are the ones who can do it. Okay, if there are other devotees, you know, who can do it, if they don't have seva, then obviously, you know, we can tell the Prabhuji, and, you know, is it possible if you can assign to someone else? You know, I'm already assigned in service like that. So see, basically, we have to prioritize our seva. And see, I will tell you one more thing, that even, like, for example, you know, scripture also, you know, like, for example, Bhakti Shastri, or whichever, you know, Shastric study also we are doing. That's also service. So what is the meaning of that service? You know, that we try to understand that scripture by, you know, regularly attending and understanding. It's not that, you know, we hear, you know, one time, two time, and then there is a gap of 3 months, and then again we'll come back, and then, you know. So then that becomes whimsical. So that is not proper, actually, approach to studying of Shastra, understanding the Shastra. Because, see, if you are doing it with the attitude of service, then you should understand that this Shastra, if I can understand, then I will be able to serve better, in much better way. Right? So then the focus will be there. Okay, so that becomes a service, you know, by itself. So by regular, that is the reason. See, what does Bhagavatam say? Nastapraishu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtikir. Whatever impurities, anarthas are there in the heart, they are almost completely destroyed by regular attendance in Bhagavatam. Okay, so regular attendance in Bhagavatam means hearing Bhagavatam, scripture, reading scripture, or hearing from them, or by serving Bhagavatas, Bhagavat devotees. Okay, so this is, then it should be regular. Okay, so see, when you do regular service, when you do steady service, then automatically steadiness will appear. Nishtha, the state of Nishtha will automatically appear when you do regular service. Okay, but if your service is irregular, then you are, you know, again you are going back to Anartha Nivritti. So you see, from Shraddha, Sadhusan, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha. Right? So so that is why Prabhupada said 75% of Anarthas are destroyed.
Okay, sir.
By regularly, you know, any activity, you know, whether it is service or studying Shastra, understanding them, or, you know, service to Guru, or whatever it is, if we do regularly, then we automatically will come to the state of steadiness. Okay, so steadiness means something that is steady, and which is steady forever. It is not that one day it is steady, another day is, you know, not steady. So steadiness means it is steady throughout the life. So then, you know, naturally we will come to the state of steadiness, right? So that is the reason the Bhagavatam, that particular shloka, represents the state of Nishtha. Okay, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Anartha Nivritti is also given in that, you know, that Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. So by steadiness, anarthas will go away. Okay, so this is very important, that we have to be, you know, we should approach everything with service attitude. Okay, and obviously we have to understand, you know, to whom we have to render service. That is the most, almost important thing, because, you know, we cannot serve each and every and satisfy each and every devotee. We cannot please them. So we have to, you know, while during our course of service to devotees, we might displease some other devotees. And that's a natural thing, you know. So obviously we don't purposefully displease them. But if they're demanding, if they don't understand, if they're not mature, then we cannot do anything. So we have to always give first priority to our gurus, basically, or wherever we are rendering service. Okay, on a regular basis. Okay, so yeah, does that answer your question, Prabhu? Yeah.
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. Yeah. Any other question on this? Okay. So Mother, you can finish the last topic, living in Mathura.
Okay, Prabhu. Living in Mathura. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement about the importance of living at holy places like Mathura or Dwarka. It is stated there, to different places of pilgrimage to attain emancipation from material bondage. This emancipation, however, is not the highest perfectional stage. After attaining this liberated stage, one has to become engaged in devotional service to the Lord. After attainment of the Brahma Bhuta, that is liberation stage, one can further advance to engagement in devotional service. So this attainment of transcendental loving devotional service to the Lord is the goal of life. And it can be achieved very easily for one who lives in Mathura, Mandala, even for a few seconds. It is further said, who is that person who will not agree to worship the land of Mathura? Mathura can deliver all the desires and ambitions of the fruitive workers and of salvationists who desire to become one with the Supreme Brahman. Certainly, Mathura will deliver the desires of the devotees who simply aspire to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Vedic literature, it is also stated how wonderful it is that simply by residing in Mathura, even for one day, one can achieve a transcendental loving attitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This land of Mathura must be more glorious than Vaikuntha Dhamma, the kingdom of God.
Yeah, so this is the result of living in Mathura, that one can easily get pure devotional service, you know, instead of liberation. So other places we might get liberation, but here we can get pure devotional service to Krishna. So any questions on this? Any comments?
I have one question for you, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
I heard
that. Are you on?
She got.
Voice is breaking. Not. Got disconnected?
She got disconnected.
Oh, really? Okay. So. Acha, so see, so now you know we have finished actually the five potent forms of bhakti. So which are the five potent forms? Can devotees, you know, quickly say?
Living in Mathura Vidhan, chanting the holy name.
Yeah, then? Correct.
Reading Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Association with
association of devotees.
Yeah. And?
Render service to devotees.
Serving the deity.
Devotees.
No, serving the deity. So association actually includes that. So you... Right? You see, above recitation of Bhagavatam is serving the deity with great devotion. So the five most potent forms are reciting in Dham, chanting the holy name, association, Bhagavatam, and deity, worship. Okay. Okay, is Saroja Mataji back? Saroja Mataji, you are back? Okay. So now, anyone knows? Yeah.
Prabhuji, if it's said that one should physically live in Vrindavan, if he is not able to, then mentally he should live in Vrindavan. So exactly how one should live mentally in Vrindavan? Should we contemplate?
Yeah, basically the spirit of Vrindavan, that is what it means. In the heart, one has to accept the spirit of Raj basically. So now, see, obviously then there is Hare Krishna Mataji. Yeah, welcome back. Yeah, so... Yeah, I will take your question one second just before you answer this question. The question was, you know, it is said that living in Vrindavan, well, one if not one physically can stay, then one can mentally stay in Vrindavan. So the question was that what does it mean to live mentally? So so that is what we were discussing, that the spirit of Vrindavan should be there in the heart, and obviously one could also remember the pastime places, the dham, the environment, you know, then all the forests of Vrindavan, all these things are also there in detail, you know. But see, when we are doing service, then it is not possible to remember all these things. Okay. So then we understand that then it means it is the spirit of Raj to render selfless service to Guru and Vaishnavas. Okay. So that becomes the spirit of Vrindavan. And if we have time, then we can also try to meditate. You know, we can remember the holy places, their significance, the pastimes and all that. Like that. Okay?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I'll join back.
Yeah. So Pranav Prabhu, is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Mataji, you had a question, right?
I wanted to ask you one question, Prabhuji, that I read somewhere that preaching is more important, like like wherever there is Krishna's talk and his name form, past tense are going, and it is as good as Dham. Is it so, Prabhuji?
Yeah, so our is a preaching mission. It's not a preaching movement. Ah. So obviously, we emphasize on preaching more. But at the same time, you know, there are gurus, sannyasi gurus and some gurus in ISKCON. They also spend, you know, maybe 3-4 months, 6 months in Braj, Mayapur. They like to spend in the holy dham, and then they would like to carry that spirit and they would like to go and preach. So I think that is also okay, but ultimately it depends on the guru what he wants. Okay. So see, preaching is obviously the essence in ISKCON. So one should preach, even if they are spending some time in the dham. But then the goal of that is to preach actually, you know, by carrying that spirit and by See, Prabhupada used to, during Prabhupada days, he used to encourage all the devotees to come to Mayapur once in a year and you know, to take the, experience and the vibes of the Dham, so that they can take that and they can, you know, be enlivened, and then they can spread the holy name. So yeah, so this is very important item actually, and you know, so yeah, so we could all, you know, we can go to the Dham, you know, whenever we get an opportunity, and obviously, you know, like it is said that dust of Braj is the greatest among all the Dhams, and it is said the Kirtan of Mayapur is the greatest, and Jagannath Puri Dham is the Prasadam is the greatest. So so when we get into these Dhams, then you know we can you know, from Braj we can take the dust, and obviously we can pray to the dust of Braj. We can roll on the dust of Braj, and then obviously, you know, many see the Dham is also, you know, marked by the pure devotees of the Lord, right? So it's a very, very sanctifying and very pure place. They are very potent actually. So if we approach in the right spirit, then we can get a lot of power, potency. So so Dham has to be, see, somehow we have to cultivate this attachment towards the, you know, towards residing in Dham. There is no doubt about that. So one cannot,
but not think, permanent. Like, for, you know, we should not be, attitude should not be set, go and settle there permanently, like.
Prabhupada said that if one preaches throughout their life, and if they end, you know, if they are not able to do anything, then they can retire and they can go to Dham and they can settle there. And Prabhupada also said that the Grihasthas, you know, if they are already detached, if they are advanced, and if they are free from sex desire, then they could also stay in the Dham. Okay. So yeah, so we have to see, you know, see, we have to see our nature, first of all. What is our inclination? And then we select, based on our nature inclination, we select a guru. Because see, you know, if you like living in the Dham or visiting the Dham in you know, three, four times a year, but if you select a guru, you know, who tells you to, you know, preach, and he does not, you know, sometimes he might say that, you know, no, you know, you should. So then obviously, then, you know, if you take diksha from that guru, then you can commit offenses, you know, by disobeying the instruction. So then better, you know, in ISKCON, within ISKCON, you know, whichever guru is inspiring to you, like, you know, Sachinanand Maharaj, B.B. Govind Maharaj, you know, they all reside in Dham for many months. And then, you know, they also go for preaching. And then there are other devotees who come to the Dham, you know, during Kartik or Purushottam Mas, once in a year or twice in a year, and they are mostly involved in preaching. So different gurus, they have different moods, so we have to see that, according to that we have to understand. Okay,
thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah, but yeah, one thing is there for sure, that one has to always see the Dham has to be always one's home. One should consider the Dham as home. It's not that, you know, we are in the name of preaching, you know, we like facilities, comforts of, you know, Mumbai city or, you know, any other city, and then, you know, we get attached to that. So that should not happen. So that is the reason, you know, we try to visit Dham and, you know, get inspired and get attached to the Dham. So when we come back, we should feel, oh, I am separating from Dham. I don't want to come back, but for some service I am coming back. So internally, one should always be inclined towards residing in the Holy Dham in the future. In the future means, you know, maybe not even in present life, but at least, you know, that is our goal, that is our objective, you know, because Krishna and Mahaprabhu, they are their original home is in Mayapur and Vraj. So we should make them that particular Dham as our home. Okay, we should not be attached to other cities and all that. Right? So this spirit also we have to cultivate.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, when devotees go to holy places, especially to Vrindavan, as the Raj of Vrindavan is considered as the greatest, so usually what devotees do is they collect the Raj, and they take it to their home. So is it allowed? Or is it?
Yeah, it is. In fact, so, you know, if they have basically the attitude should be right. Generally what I've heard is that Giriraj Shila cannot be taken from Raj. That requires blessings from Guru, permission. Okay, but the dust of Raj is okay. Like, if you know, if devotees have the right mood. And sometimes, you know, other devotees can give it as a gift also. In fact, we can also, you know, when there is a special occasion like appearance, disappearance day or some festival day, then that time we can also eat the dust of Raj, you know, if we have in our house. So, like, you know, one senior Mataji, she gifted us dust of Raj in the 64 Samadhi area. So we have that dust in our house. And whenever, you know, there is some important day, we try to eat that. Yeah. So,
okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so any last question from other devotee? Any last comment or any last question from any other devotee? So, tomorrow is a very special day, you know, God Purnima. And fortunately, you know, Friday, Saturday, both days, we have been discussing about devotional topics. So, it's nice. I just wanted to request one thing that, you know, many devotees, they were asking if they could help, you know, in some way. So I was thinking that I think one of the best ways to help is, since we are all coming regularly now, you know, to the class, then I thought that maybe if devotees, they have this, you know, facility, then they can arrange, you know, like once in 3 months or something, they can arrange program in their house. So that, you know, we all can assemble and personally we can also discuss, like, mostly on Saturdays, you know. So if
yes,
someone would like to do that.
Yes, Prabhuji, we would like to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, so voluntarily,
like
any devotee.
Yeah. And one more request, Prabhuji, from our side, shall I?
Yeah.
We'll all go to some yatra also together. Some yatra,
yeah,
any yatra of... which you suggested you are comfortable with. And Mahaprabhuji was saying Mayapur.
Mahaprabhuji, I was not saying Mayapur.
We'll help you with the arrangement, Dol Prabhuji. Whatever seva you want us to do, we'll do it. But we'll all go together. Our NOD and CC class together.
Wonderful,
what
that's
do we do?
So nice actually. Yeah, great.
What do we do?
You all can... associate.
Well, let's have a yatra in US.
Yes.
Who is sponsored by the
very happy, Prabhuji.
Oh, Hari.
We go to Florida.
So, yeah. So anyway, you know, very kind of, you know, all the devotees who volunteered to, you know, arrange. But yeah, so we see if we can do it, you know, once in 3 months or something like that, then all of us, you know, the bonding will become strong and, you know, we can know each other. It will be very nice, actually, very live experience. So, from Churchgate to next Thane area, I think, you know, that much traveling is okay. But beyond Thane, it will be like...
Prabhuji, and who's out of Bombay, then what will they do?
So then we'll have to have a yatra in a special visit. That particular. So, yeah, I mean, you know, this is, you know, if all devotees, you know, we can plan something, you know, like Mataji suggested, you know, yatra. So yatra can be, you know, anywhere, like, you know, we can
we'll
at least we can start with some
nearest
place.
Yeah, like
Eco Village.
Eco
Village, we can.
Talasari farm.
Yeah. So nearest place we can go. We can experiment that in the beginning, and then, you know, if all devotees are, you know, more enthusiastic, then we can plan in the future, you know, some distant place yatra, like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, whoever and please don't feel any kind of pressure or any kind of you know, demand that. You know, anyone who has the facility in their house, they can do it. If devotees do not have, they cannot by some practical reasons, then there is no need for that. Please don't, you know, burden, you know, some devotees, they stay with one devotee relatives. So I don't want to burden them or, you know, because I myself am staying with, you know, non-devotee, you know, family. So I know what is the, you know, this thing. So don't feel any kind of pressure or burden. If devotees are able to do it, then only do it. Okay? So anyways, you know, whoever would like to volunteer, they can just let me know and we'll all arrange. than particular day and month. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Okay, all right. So,
Haribol. Prabhuji, one final question. If our ultimate desire is to serve Lord, right? But if we can't fulfill that desire, but then can we fulfill that desire in next birth or in future?
Okay. So that is a very important question.
What is the question?
Some desire to serve the Lord, but which we are not able to fulfill that desire in this life, then will we come in the next life to fulfill that desire? Okay, so the answer that Prabhupada gave a couple of times is that we have to understand what is Krishna's desire. If our desire does not tally with Krishna's desire, then we should not have greed to fulfill our desire. Because Prabhupada said that if a devotee, if he wants to learn, some devotee, if they want to do kirtan, you know, for the service of Lord, and if they would like to learn a particular instrument, and if they are not able to learn that in this life, but they really want to, then, you know, for learning that instrument, they'll come back in the next life. Okay, so see, we have to understand that if the Lord does not want certain desires to be executed, then we should not continue with that desire. We should not long for the desire. Okay, otherwise we'll have to come in the next life, you know, to fulfill that desire. So better you can desire to serve the Lord, but at the same time, if the Lord is okay, then that's fine. But if he does not want that, you know, there is no need for that, then, you know, then we don't have to hanker for it. Okay. So, yeah. So, hope that answers the question, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. All Mataji and Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Do not pranam for everyone.
Happy to you, Prabhu.
Yeah. Thank you.